You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, it is 7:01. You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve. It is Teaching Tuesday. So what happens on a Teaching Tuesday at 7 a.m., Kelly?
Oh, I know. I was going to say pick me, but he already did. I'm so confused now.
Well,
we get to talk.
I'm not going to let you answer.
Oh. I can.
You can, but you stalled too long. It's time for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week, Kelly.
Yay. Here, hang on. Wait, we got to do it right. There we go.
Oh.
Okay, I feel better now.
There she is. Yes.
Got the applause.
Come on down.
Oh, my
Nancy
goodness.
Fitzgerald. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. I disconnected from you guys, but I am so connected now. We're good to go.
I was wondering what all that noise was I was hearing. I kept saying, hello, hello, hello. I said so many nice things, and I'm not repeating myself. And then suddenly there you were.
Oh, my goodness.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours.
Well, as we are walking through Holy Week, mm-hmm. This is a pretty, pretty big question, Kelly.
Oh, man. Nancy, are you ready to jump in?
I am ready to jump in.
What did Jesus reveal about his heart when he faced the cross?
Yeah, it's a good lesson for all of us. You know, as we live busy, confused lives that, you know, nothing's easy today. But as we reflect back on Holy Week, I think it's important to go back a little bit and realize as we're studying the scriptures, get a few things straight about what happened here, because the death and resurrection of Jesus was not the idea of the Pharisees or the Romans. We see it. We see the jealousy of the Pharisees and mounting up and wanting to crucify him. But the idea, God had orchestrated the death of Jesus before the beginning of time. And just today, I want to just kind of push us all into a different realm of thinking, we'll never get to where Jesus thinks, but just the idea that God knew beforehand, and he announced his plan of the coming Redeemer after Adam and Eve had sinned against him. And you know, the beautiful relationship he had with Adam and Eve in the garden, and then they sinned and they were, you know, pulled away from God by the lie from Satan. And we see immediately God jumped in and gave the first of 350 prophecies about the coming Messiah. The first one is Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And by the way, that's a capital S, her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The ultimate seed of the woman would be Jesus here. And the Messiah, the promised one, would be from the woman's seed, which indicates the eventual virgin birth of Jesus. So there you have it. Right away. God showed his love and desire to have a relationship with mankind. He was going to fix that situation, you know, and we see that God is so faithful and he held to the word. And when Jesus was born and grew up, Jesus showed his true heart of the Father by loving through grace and humility, by being willing to come to earth as a man, knowing that he would suffer and die a horrific death, and then be resurrected. He would live again as Savior of the world. And it's amazing, and we see this in Philippians 2, where he says, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Here he is, giving up his seat at the right hand of the Father, coming down to die and to live as man. And you know what messes we are. And here's God choosing to be among that. Well, it just blows my mind.
We are a mess, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. Look at us. So what does that say then about the love of Christ, that he would actually die for those who truly hated him?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And here we go in another realm. The hate that was levied on him, layer after layer of people, even those closest to him, the one who sat on his right hand at the Last Supper, betrayed him, and he washed his feet, for crying out loud. You know, the idea of a dying man, of a man dying for those who hate him, is a love that we just simply cannot understand. You know, there's nothing in our human, broken, sinless, sinful ability to love that approaches God's love for us. It just, sin has never been a barrier for us for God to love us. And I can't imagine who of us would die for the ungodly, for the worst of sinners, or even our enemies. Only Jesus. And not only was he willing, he did it. And Romans 5 says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us. And while we were sinners, he died for us. He not only loved us, but he suffered and he died for us. This is inhuman. And wow. It just blows my mind, but it also, on the other hand, encourages me that God so loved this world and those people that are out doing horrific things that we're all watching from afar, and some even have been involved in it. Humanity, the gravity of the horrific nature of man, there is Jesus loving them and dying for them. Blows me away.
What blows me away, too, is when you think about everything that would have been going on during this week leading up to his crucifixion. I mean, the world was a mess. The temple was a mess. The high priests were a mess. There was politics happening. The Romans were being oppressive. And then you have all these little skirmishes between people themselves. There's just so much happening all around him. If I had been in his shoes, I think, you know, as just a mere human, I would have been so distracted. But Jesus really had a singular focus, didn't he? And he didn't lose it.
No, yes, exactly. And that's, again, something so unlike humans. He always focused on loving and saving humankind. And he wanted to save them from the penalty of eternal death for their sins. That was the idea, so that he could have fellowship with them forever. And we see this over and over, as you were talking earlier about Jesus telling people that he was going to die. We see this recorded in the scriptures. As he lived, he taught, he performed many miracles during his time while he was on this planet. He wanted people to know that he is God and he cares deeply for them, even those who wanted to kill him. When the time came for Jesus to fulfill the prophecies of his death and resurrection, Jesus arranged to have his last supper with them. And Jesus told him that it was time for the Father and for him to be glorified. And this is an amazing event, that Jesus planned this last supper. He washed their feet. He was there to be with him because the time had come. The Father had arranged this moment of time. This is when, Jesus, you will make the ultimate sacrifice for mankind. And it was just, it was the most amazing. I can't imagine what that moment was like.
Well, what did Jesus mean, though, then, that he said it was time for him to be glorified?
Yeah, it meant it was time for God's greatness and his mercy and forgiveness and love to be made clear, not only to the followers, not only to the disciples, but to the world, and not only to the world of those people living at that moment, but for those to come. And we see this so clearly after supper, you know, when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane so Jesus could pray to his Father. I mean, you can imagine what he was about to go through, and his heart was heavy. But it was still in the midst of what he knew he had to go through. His heart was still full of those who believed in him. He yearned to be intimate and have intimate fellowship with his disciples. And check this out, in those who will have that love and will follow him in the future. And we see this borne out in his prayer to the fathers. We look at John 17. Check this out. When he was pouring his heart out in the Garden of Gethsemane, moments before he was arrested, he said this, and they, talking about his disciples, are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, this, there it is. He's praying for those, not only the disciples, but those who have yet to believe. That's you and that's me. And you know, soon after Jesus prayed, the guard and the soldiers came to arrest him. And Peter came to Jesus's defense. And I love this moment. He took his sword, struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear, you know. And from a human perspective, it was a noble act. I mean, let's just face it. He was trying to protect his Lord. He was going to fight the fight. And instead of thanking Peter, Jesus rebuked him as only Jesus could. In an act of love, then, Jesus, because he loved his enemies, he was always trying to draw people to himself. The scripture says here in Luke 22, in an act of love, Jesus showed firsthand that he is God when he touched the man's ear and healed him. Amazing. There it is. God's love and concern for others all the time.
Yeah, it really is amazing, because I think any one of us in our flesh would have just been striking out like crazy. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, the Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel. And we're discussing our Biblical Worldview question of the week. And Nancy, when I think about Jesus enduring the pain of the cross, another thing crosses my mind, and that is that he could have avoided the cross. He could have called on God. He could have asked that cup pass from him. And you know, I mean, he did pray that, but not as he willed, he said, but as you will, Father. How could he endure the pain of the cross? I would have run.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's another God moment of peeking behind the curtain. Because, you know, I'm just here listening to you, and I'm thinking, because Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they know the end of the story. They know that death isn't the end. And Jesus endured the pain because he knew that his death was the price required for making those who believe righteous, those whose sin has been forgiven and can have fellowship with the holiness, with the holy God. And he was showing them that he was obedient to the Father in heaven, even to death, even to the death, he is obedient to the Father. And it's a beautiful picture to us. How obedient are we to the Father? You know, and the cool thing about God, he showed no favors, because he came to save sinners whom he loved. And in the end, he gave all who believed. All who believed, he gave what they needed. He gave his peace. He gave hope by promising that he will never leave us. And when we die, we will go to heaven where there's no more sickness, no more pain, and no more death. What an awesome God we have that wants us to have the very best, even though it doesn't feel like it most of the time when things go crazy in our own little worlds. But, you know, I love Max Lucado, and gosh, I've read everything he's ever written. I love the way he writes. He's such a good storyteller. But I think he summed up what the death on the cross and the resurrection means to all of us who believe. In his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, he writes this. There were no normal 6 hours. They were the most critical hours in history. For those 6 hours on that Friday, God embedded in the earth 3 anchor points sturdy enough to withstand any hurricane. Anchor point number one, my life is not futile. There is truth. Someone is in control, and I have a purpose. Anchor point two, my failures are not fatal. One who has the right to condemn you provided a way to acquit you. You make mistakes. God doesn't. And he made you. Anchor point number three. My death is not final. He only went into the tomb to prove that he could come out. And on the way out, he took the stone with him and he turned it into an anchor point. And he dropped it deep into the uncharted waters of death. What a beautiful way to show the impact of what Christ did that day over 2,000 years ago on that cross and why he did it. Because our lives matter. We have purpose. Our failures should not stop any of us. No. God covered that on the cross. It is just amazing. And of course, our future is heaven. Perfect peace. And so, I don't know. I think all this inspires me to push through the hard times and to realize what Christ pushed through so that he could give us life. Certainly inspires us to do the same as we live.
Well, it is remarkable when you think of the fact that God has demonstrated his love for us through Jesus Christ and that he showed his love for us even though we were sinners and he died for those who even hated him.
Yeah.
Christ died Absolutely. For us so that God would be glorified and we would see the power of life over death in the Yeah. resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the whole thing is just amazing and inspires me to really start praying for people that, you know, come in our way and that we see as evil or whatever, to pray for them, to pray for their salvation, because he did. And sometimes I think we can pray just out of obedience and not necessarily mean it, but if we keep praying enough, God will give us a heart for those people. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I've been through that. Just choosing to be obedient and pray for those who are trying to make us stumble and to hurt us. Because God will have the last word. He always has and he always will. And you know what? That's great news for us.
It truly is. Nancy, can't thank you enough for this question this week. This is just outstanding, especially as we stare down the days, the remaining, you know, 96 hours here that there are before the crucifixion and just what we see the heart of Jesus is. And I can't thank you enough for a good reminder of what has been done for us. So if you would like to find out more about Anchors Away, we want to go ahead and get you connected. You can find all of the information that you're looking for at anchorsaway.org. You can find the links under killiansteve.org as well in the resources tab. But go ahead, get things, get your questions answered. Reach out. You can email Nancy. You can call Nancy. She will answer those questions for you. and you can do individual online learning, and there's curriculum overviews that are all available for you. And who knows, you too could become a teacher of the biblical worldview. So, Nancy, thank you so much. God bless you, and I pray that you have an incredible remainder of this week.
Well, thank you, and same to you. God bless you guys. Love you.
Love you.
We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye. It is 7:21. We're going to come back in just 2 minutes and check in with Wish TV8's Randy Aulis for a look at our forecast.
Call or text them anytime at 800-969-9467. It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve.